The Old Testament reading for the 15th Sunday after Pentecost is found in the prophecy of Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is found in Paul's letter to the Church of Rome, the 13th chapter. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear over the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed of them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Please rise. The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 20. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be far better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin, for it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom temptation comes. And if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly, I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I say to you, Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, there's a lot of material there in Matthew 18, and we will get to our gospel lesson today. But first, I want to take a quick look at our epistle lesson from Romans 13, which is interesting, especially for us Americans, especially these last 7 years. Right off the bat in Romans 13, the Apostle Paul admonishes all of us to submit to the governing authorities. That's kind of a hot button issue these days. For example, let's take the President of the United States. Some of you are thinking, yeah, please, take him. Others admire him. But if you like the current president, chances are you absolutely did not like the last guy who was president. And this isn't about who you like as president. I just want to make a point. And the point is, I bet every single one of us here has violated Paul's admonition to respect and honor our governing authorities. After all, we have a constitutional right as Americans to express our opinions. So I'm guessing that while most of us have exercised our constitutional right to opine and complain, few of us have paid much attention to Paul's admonition to respect and honor our governing authorities. And that's not the only law Paul mentions here that we violated. He ends this passage by quoting Jesus, who summarized the second table of the law, saying, "Love your neighbor as yourself." We haven't done that one either. Nobody has. We're failing all over the place. The whole Christian community is failing. In fact, the problem is so pervasive that Paul himself, who's reminding us of the importance of keeping God's law, Paul himself says in Romans 7, "The good I want to do, I don't do. But the evil I don't want to do, that's what I keep on doing. O wretched man that I am, who will save me?" Even Paul can't keep God's law. So here's my question. What's to be done about this? We're not keeping God's law. Well, listen to what Paul wrote in Galatians 2, verse 21. "I do not set aside or discount the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law," in other words, if I could keep the law and prove myself righteous, if I could, then Christ died for nothing. So here's what all of us Reformation Christians need to understand. At its core, Christianity's purpose is not to establish and maintain a code of morality. In fact, that's what makes faith in Christ different from Islam or Judaism or any other religion out there. Because of the way Christianity is often presented, this sounds confusing. But at its core, Christianity is not a moral code. It's a proclamation that all of us sinners are forgiven and reconciled to God because Jesus died for you and imputed or credited his righteousness to you. That's the core of Christianity. It's the proclamation called the gospel. The core of Christianity is not what you must do for God. The core of Christianity is what God has done for you. It's good news. The core of Christianity is the gospel proclamation that announces God's mercy and forgiveness to you who are sinful. You know, we've probably all heard the phrase, deeds, not creeds, as if what's most important for a Christian is what you do rather than what you understand. I mean, that sounds correct, doesn't it? What you do is most important, not what you know. Who'd argue with that? Well, I would. Me and Sean. Here's why. The only thing that motivates us to do good deeds is creeds. Or in other words, understanding what God has done for us motivates us to do for others. It's what's in the Bible, the doctrine or creeds that describe what God has done for you through Christ. That's what motivates us. You have no real love for God until you understand deeply the magnitude of God's love and forgiveness toward you. You have no compassion for your neighbors until you understand God's compassion for you. Your love for God and love for neighbor can only come from gratitude for what Christ has done for you. So what has Christ done for you? Well, let's take a look at our gospel lesson from Matthew. The passage starts with a reminder from Jesus that God takes our sin problem seriously. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. That's over-the-top language from Jesus. It's ridiculous. But it gets the message across. And the message is, you who are sinful, and that's all of us, even the Apostle Paul, you who are sinful, we're in desperate, desperate need of a Savior. And that's why the very next paragraph in Matthew 18 is so comforting. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountain and go in search of the one who is lost? Well, maybe not. If he's a smart shepherd, why would he risk it? If he goes off in search of one sheep, a cougar could come along and decimate the other 99. Here's the situation, though. This is not just any shepherd. In this parable, the shepherd represents Jesus. And the sheep who's gone astray represents you. And despite the foolishness of it, despite the risks, Jesus loves you so much that he goes after you. He doesn't leave you to suffer the consequences of your own stupid decisions to wander away. He doesn't let you die in the wilderness. He comes to find you and rescues you. at great risk. This is the same shepherd who saved and forgave the woman caught in the very act of adultery. This is the same shepherd who promised the convicted thief dying on a cross that he would be with him in paradise that very night. This is the same shepherd who wept at the death of Lazarus and then called him back to life for the sake of his weeping sisters. This is the shepherd who loves you despite your selfish sin and failure, who rescued you with his blood and bequeathed to you his perfect righteousness. That's the gospel. That's the core of our Christian faith. It's not all about you and your behavior. It's all about what God has done for you through Christ, despite your behavior and failures. And the result is, now you can rest. Now you can be at peace. You're forgiven and accepted and loved by God, safe in the arms of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, today and in the life to come. That's the reason to love God and have compassion for your neighbor. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love and compassion and mercy toward us. Help us to recognize the depth of our sin. Only so we can recognize the magnitude of your mercy and forgiveness. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.